Welcome to the Lakeview Church Podcast, hosted by Pastor Dr. David Chapman and the people of Lakeview Church in Stillwater, Oklahoma. For more information on the ministry of Lakeview Church, visit us on the web at www.lakeviewonline.org. Now, let's join Dr. Chapman and the people of Lakeview Church.
There are few people who deliberately, in a moment, turn their back on God. There are many who day by day drift farther and farther away from Him. We would do well to continually be on the alert against the peril of the drifting life. Folks, that's a picture of America today. We are drifting past the things of God. We get so busy doing all kinds of things, and yet every one of us suffer from one fatal disease. We are mortal. We're going to die. And if we are not ready, the fact you said, I prayed a prayer 30 years ago, that may not get you in like you think is going to get you in. Let's read together 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. The goal of your faith is the salvation of your souls. Folks, nothing is more important that we get this one down. My church is a big deal. Now, the fact is we're all going to die, and many people are really scared of that whole idea, but God says that we're going to stand before Him once we die. It's appointed to man once to die. After this is judgment, you and I are going to stand before God. Most people that bothers. Here's the reason why. If you are a child who has done really good at school, you can hardly wait for your parents to come. Mama, look what I did. Look at my grade. Fine. You're looking forward because you did good. I always hated report card day. There was one thing synonymous with report card day. It was a whooping day. Every time, report card day was a whooping day. I asked my dad why. He always gave me the answer in detail. All right. The fact is, report card day was a whooping day. All right, but if you did good, like some of you smarty pants out there, you love report card day because you got to get ice cream and they bragged about it, they loved on you. Mine was bend over. You see, when you do right, it's a wonderful thing. When you know you're doing wrong, then you don't want your parents to come, all right? The fact is that when you are walking with the Lord, folks, there is an excitement about the possibility of Jesus coming back. But if you are not living for Him, that's your worst day. Why? Because you know you have not been doing what God has called you to do. There was a pastor in Tulsa, his name is Carlton Pearson. Many of you know his name. He's a very famous pastor. And several years ago, Carlton Pearson, pastor of a church, 6,000, 7,000 people, came out with the book and began to teach that hell did not exist. And he became very aggressive. Hell does not exist. In fact, Oral Roberts broke off fellowship with him. Most churches have broken off fellowship with him. He lost his church. He went bankrupt. But now he's got another church. He's starting over teaching that, folks, hell doesn't exist. Hitler, Mussolini, Charles Manson, may you be your neighbor in heaven. You know, goofy stuff. Why? Because you say it doesn't make it so. At Lakeview, unapologetically, the Bible is a standard, not a pastor's opinion. I don't care if he has 100,000 members. It doesn't matter. The Bible is a standard. We know that here at Lakeview. Okay? And I'm going to sidestep for a moment because about 5 years ago, I did an in-depth study on heaven and hell. I went into it not having really a clue. When I got through, it changed my whole life because I began to come across people that had died and gone to hell. I came across people that had been taken there in visions to hell. And as one of the books I was reading, a man talked about that he was being taken through hell. And he saw this area. He said, I knew that guy, and I'd seen him on earth. He was a TV preacher. And Jesus said to him, he is in hell because he began to teach people that hell wasn't real. And many people believed him, and they came here because of what he taught them. And now he himself is here because he refused to teach what the Bible said. Folks, I made one choice. I don't care if I believe it or not. The Bible settles it in my life. Okay, the Bible settles it, that there is a real hell, there is a very real heaven, and Carlton Pearson may be one who may be in that place called hell. Even though one day he preached the word of God, he may be in that place if he does not repent and turn from his sin. Because the Bible says there is a place called hell. The greatest gift I have ever received in my life is the gift of salvation. The greatest asset you will ever have is the gift of salvation. In fact, writing this sermon, I thought, you know, I'm reluctant because you're going to say, this is kind of old stuff. Folks, there's nothing more important than this. If you get this one wrong, everything is lost. Amen. In fact, why don't you write this down? Confidence comes when I understand what God says about salvation. See, as we said, the gospel message has changed. People are preaching, just believe in Jesus and go to heaven. Well, do you believe in Jesus and go to heaven? Well, yes and no, because that's only a partial truth. Look at what James says in chapter 2, verse 19. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. Folks, you don't believe in Jesus to go to heaven. Demons believe in Jesus. Believing in Jesus doesn't get you to heaven. See, I believe in George Washington. I believe in Abraham Lincoln. But that's merely saying I have mental assent that they lived. I'm not putting my trust in them for eternal life. And yet many people today have said, well, Pastor, I believe in Jesus. And yet what happens, they leave church and they go, they live a wicked lifestyle. They live as if there's no tomorrow. They live for today. They live as if Jesus never had any impact upon their life. Today I meet so many people and they are quick to tell me how they are followers of Christ. And yet when you look at their life, there is no fruit that would indicate that. What have they done? They have believed in Jesus, but they've not gotten saved. In other words, they just merely believe that there's Jesus. Today, I hope you begin to see something from the Bible that is incredibly important, the most important message you'll hear in your life. What is required for salvation? The first thing to write down, number one, there must be a recognition of sin. For anyone in the world, there must be a recognition of sin. Today, the fad is today, most churches don't talk about sin. I'm fully aware this message will not be one of my most popular messages here at this church. Why? Because we don't like to talk about sin. We don't talk about lying and adultery and stealing and gossip and homosexuality and all the sins we could list. We don't talk about those. We want to talk about self-improvement, about how to have a joyful life, how to be happy, how to raise good kids, and those are important. But we don't want to talk about sin. See, we've got to understand the Bible teaches that the first step is that we must recognize our sin. Look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 5. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and they need to repent. A sinner refers to someone who recognizes their sin. How do we recognize sin? Number one, jot these down if you would, please. Number one, the conscience. The first way you know you've sinned is your conscience. We have a voice on the inside of us. And folks, about 90%, in fact, one fellow said this at a conference I went to. He said 90% of people who are in mental institutions are there because of conscience distress. In other words, when you do something that's against your conscience, it stresses you on the inside. And when people live a life that's conflicting with their conscience, it brings an inner turmoil and affects them mentally. Okay? Conscious distress. And I'm amazed as a pastor. In fact, I really try to hide the fact I'm a pastor because I get so tired of the phony act that comes along. I get tired. It's just like, put on the show. You know, you don't get an Academy Award for that goofy act you gave me because I know better. Because oh, you're a pastor? Oh, well, praise God. A while ago, you were in God's name a different way just a while ago. I mean, they do it all the time. It's just common things like this. And one day, Lynette and I pulled up in front of the store, and it was a quick trip type store, and there was a fellow at the counter, and he had a case of beer. And I said, Dave, that's one of our members there. And I went, wow, it is. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going in that building, right? Well, I came to do. So I thought, well, I will walk in and go to the right. I will not confront him, obviously. It would not be my right to confront him. So I walked in there and I hear him say, quick, give me a sack. Quick, give me a sack. And they put it in the sack and he said, hi, Pastor. Now, why would he say, give me a sack? Because underneath, he knows he shouldn't be doing that. How does he know that? He has a conscience that convicts him. Folks, your conscience will convict you of things that you do wrong. And so that's one way we can know sin is our conscience causes us to recognize sin. Number two, write down the word the law. The law is a second way. Very often I'll be sharing with people and I will say to them, if God were to ask you, why should he let you into heaven? What would you say? Well, I try to treat people right. I do the best I can do. Basically, I keep the Ten Commandments. You've heard that phrase many. And then if I want to have fun with them, I'll ask you this. Have you ever failed to keep God number one in your life? Well, yes, I have. Have you ever failed to keep the Sabbath? Yes, I have failed to keep the Sabbath. Have you ever told a lie? Yes, I've told a lie. Have you ever dishonored your father and mother? Yes, I've dishonored my father and mother. Then you're in some big-time trouble, cowboy, because you're depending on that law to get you into heaven. You see, what happens, the law, keeping the commandments, being good, was never intended to get you to heaven. In fact, look at your notes in the book of Romans. Look at chapter 3, verse 20. The Apostle Paul says, no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. In other words, the law shows Kenny he's a real mess. He didn't know that without the law. And God says, Kenny, have you ever talked against me? Have you ever failed to honor your parents? Have you ever neglected the Sabbath? And suddenly Kenny goes, man, I've got a big problem. Why? The law reveals his sin. Number one, our conscience reveals sin. Number two, the law reveals sin. But thirdly, the Holy Spirit reveals sin. The Holy Spirit does. In fact, the Holy Spirit came for two reasons. Number one, he came to convict people of sin. Look in John 16. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of its sin. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. That's what Jesus said. He said he's going to convict people of their sin. Have you ever gotten under conviction before? Absolutely we have. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. But not only does he convict people of sin, number two, he convinces people of sin. He convinces people. If you look in chapter in Hebrew, it's convinces people of salvation, the wrong S word, all right? He convinces people of salvation. In Hebrews chapter 10, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. So in other words, the Holy Spirit, he comes and helps us realize that we've blown it. First, folks, the first thing to know is if you're going to be born again, if you're going to be saved, there must be the recognition of sin. Would you agree with me there on that point? That's the first thing. But see, that's the problem. Many churches, they never preach about sin. They don't know they've sinned. Number two, there not only must be the recognition of sin, there must be remorse because of sin. There must be remorse because of sin. You must be sorry. In our culture, we don't like to say, I'm sorry. When the boys were smaller, I would say, Taylor, tell Josh you're sorry. He'd go, sorry. I said, no, that's not saying you're sorry. Say, I'm sorry, not sorry. You see, remorse means that I am genuinely sorrowful for what I've done. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. You see, many people are sorry, but they're like, oh, I'm sorry I made you wait. That's not the sorrow the Bible's talking about. Back when I was born again, I was a good kid. I was 21 when I was saved, but I grew up as a good kid. I was incredibly ornery, but I was basically a good kid. And in about 20 or so, I was on my own, had my car. And back in those days, cassette players had just come out for cars. That was back in those days. And they were some really cool cassette players, $400 and $500 back in those days. And one day this guy said to me, I've got one for $100 if you want it. So I paid him $100, and I got this like $500 cassette deck. Now, I didn't know where that thing came from, but I knew it had been stolen someplace. But I didn't steal it. I just paid $100 for it. Within several months, maybe 7 or 8 months later, I got saved. And I got saved. I recognized my sin. I was very sorry for my sin. And I was working at a motel as a night clerk. One night I was up praying. And I got under such conviction that I've got a stolen tape deck. I called the police department. and I turned myself in for buying stolen goods. I began to cry on the phone so much they thought I was suicidal and sent a policeman out. They thought I'd kill myself over the deal. I was sobbing, boohooing, crying because I was genuinely sorry. And I spent about a year, folks. I went back to employers. I went to teachers. I had cheated on their test. I went to people. I was genuinely sorry for what I have done. Today, I see people say they're saved and they still boast about their sin. They're not sorry for what they've done. Folks, to this day, I've never stolen a thing again. I've never cheated on a test. I never did anything like that because I spent about a year going back and repenting, and I learned a lesson. I don't want to do that again. Say, but yet I see people, they just go on and on and on. Why? They never have any remorse. There is a recognition of sin, but number two, there is a remorse for sin. God, I am genuinely sorry that I did it. I love the story about a man walking up to the door one day, and a lady walked up. He opened the door for her, and she walked in, and she said, "Did you do that because I'm a woman?" He said, "No, ma'am, I did it because I'm a gentleman." I love that position. Folks, I do what I do because I'm a Christian. Therefore, it's not any big reward. That's what I do. A while back, I had a guy that undercharged me by $100. And I said, "Sir, I owe you $100 more." And he went, "Oh, okay." You know, I thought he'd go, "Thank you." He did. He said, "Oh." I'm like, "Well, you slime dog, you." But you know what? It doesn't matter. Because the fact is, I don't steal. You see, that is sin, and my remorse makes me where I don't do that. And I've had people give me too much money. I'll always give it back to them. One day I found $40 on the floor of the store. I found the measure. It's $40. I found it. He went, "Oh," stuck his pocket, walked off. I thought, I could have done that. But you know what? I can't do that because I am a Christian, and I do that way because I follow Christ. That means I recognize it wasn't my money. It was a sin for me to take it, and remorse means I do not take joy in taking what is not mine. Okay? Those are the first two steps. If we are going to be saved, there must be that recognition. Number two, there must be remorse. Number three, I must repent of my sin. I must repent of my sin. Read with me the first word that Jesus spoke when he came back down from being tempted. Let's read it together. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." The first step that he gives is you've got to repent of your sins. You see, today we don't even know what repentance means, or we don't even get into the repentance. Folks, the Bible teaches that we must repent when we come to God. Repent, what does that mean? It means I'm walking this direction, I turn, and I go the other direction. That's what it means. Jesus said, you've got to repent. Look at Acts 20. Paul says, "I have one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and having faith in our Lord Jesus." He said, my message is repentance. Look at Hebrews 6:1. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith. You see, that is a fundamental thing. You see, most Americans believe in Jesus, but it doesn't mean they're saved. Why? They've never repented. They still live the same way they've always lived. They've added Jesus to their life like a country club membership. Folks, if Jesus doesn't change your life, you didn't get the real deal. Jesus changes people's lives. And the great curse of American Christianity today is we have preached from the pulpit a message that says, believe in Jesus, pray this prayer, and go to heaven. And the people have never recognized their sin, they have no remorse over their sin, and they have never repented. They merely added Jesus to what they were doing. Okay? Man, this is a hard, I mean, and I know I'm not mad. All right? I'm not upset. I'm just trying to help you see this is the message of the Bible, and many churches are not preaching this today. Therefore, we are a full gospel church. We preach the full gospel of Christ, that you must recognize your sin. You must be sorry for your sin. You must repent of your sin. That is required that we do that. Look in the book of 2 Peter in your notes, chapter 3. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. In other words, he wants every one of us to repent. Folks, I do not repent only the day I get saved. I repent every day. You know why? I'm messing up every day. of the day, I've told you, I've never had road rage at a car. I never have. I just don't do that. The other day, I felt the urge to honk my horn. I had to repent of it. Let me see. Okay, I can't use illustration. If I get mad, don't touch the horn. You know, that's why I said, Lord, forgive me. Almost did it. The fact is, we should be repenting all the time. Why? Because we need to recognize I'm messing up. I'm sorry. I'm going to act different. I'm sorry. I'm going to act different. All through the day, as we do things that do not glorify God, there should be an attitude of repentance. I'm not legalistic, but I am not ignorant that I mess up and I need to repent. Now, there's a pastor in South Korea named Young Park. His church has got 45,000 members. So it's a big church. It'd be the biggest in America if he was here. I want to tell you what he says, okay? I'm going to quote Young Park. Guy pastors 45,000 people. He's not some kook on the streets. Has a huge church. And he was given a vision and taken to hell. He was shown hell. And he said this. He said, I asked the angel, what is the population of hell? And the angel said to him, I don't know, but I can tell you this, that for every person that comes to heaven, about 1,000 go to hell. Well, that's terrifying. Okay? Well, the Bible says narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. And you see, today many people have bought into the message of some church that just believe in God and that's all it takes and live your life. And they've never received Christ. They've never been repentant. They've never been remorseful. They've never recognized their sin. And they're on that road that is going to take them to a place the Bible says it's just worse than you can imagine. In fact, I'll give you a quote. The angel said this to him. There are two kinds of people in hell. One kind is those who did not believe in Jesus. Those who did not believe in Jesus come to hell 100%. The other kind is the people who went to church but died without repenting. Folks, that means if I love you as your pastor, I need to teach you the message of repentance because your eternity hangs in the balance. I would rather have a church of 1,000 people repentant than 10,000 who don't know repentance. Okay? It is so incredibly, the message is so simple, but it is so important that we must, number one, we must recognize our sin. Number two, we must have remorse because of our sin. Number three, we must repent of my sin. And then number four, I receive Christ as my Savior. The fourth R is I receive Christ as my Savior. In other words, what we've done in the churches, we have taken the fourth point and never talked about the first, the second, or the third point. In other words, they've received Christ, but they've never repented of their sin. They've never been sorry over their sin. They've never even recognized they've sinned. Read with me what John chapter 1, verse 12 says. But as many as received him, let's start again. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You see, the key is we do receive Christ, but it's not enough to receive Christ. That's the fourth step. I must back it. I'm not being redundant, but this is so important that you get it. I must recognize I am a sinner. I have fallen short of the glory of God. Secondly, God, I am sorry for my sin. Because I'm sorry, God, I repent and I turn and go another direction. And I receive Christ as my Savior. That is biblical New Testament salvation. Folks, that will get you into heaven. Anything short of that puts you in a very precarious place. This morning, as we've talked about that, there are some of you here, and you may have been people who said, listen, just receive Jesus. Well, is that true? Yes, it is true, but that's not all the truth. And maybe you've said, you know, I've received Christ, but, you know, it's like it didn't really work. And you may have bought into point number four without understanding one, two, and three. And if that's where you are, then this is the biggest moment of your entire destiny. See, Steve Jobs, a billionaire, has impacted the world greatly. I don't know if he was saved or not. I don't know. Nothing's ever said about God. But I do know this, it's too late for him. I do know this, last week he was alive just like you are. Last week he never thought he would have stood before God by this time. You see, today you can take that step in just a few moments. We're going to have some prayer time up here. And some of you are here and you're going, Pastor, I've never been saved. What do I do? We're going to ask you, if you've never been saved, what do I mean by that? You've never recognized your sin. You've never had remorse over your sin. You've never repented over your sin. You've never received Christ. We want you to come right over here in just a few moments, because someone's going to be there that can help pray with you. Because, folks, there's nothing like being saved. It changes your life. In fact, for years I thought, why was my life so radically different when I got saved? And so many people, their lives have not been any different at all. It was very obvious. They received Jesus, but they never did the first three. If you've never been saved, you're going to come over here in just a minute. These counselors are coming to be over here just to pray with you, okay? We're going to have people over here. You say, Pastor, I need someone to pray with me. I need to be healed. I want someone to agree with me. I want someone to pray with me. We have prayer people that are going to gather right here, and they're going to pray for you. You say, Pastor, I just want to pray myself. I want to come. There's some burdens. I may want to pray for a family member. Folks, you may have kids. You say, why are they living like the devil? They received Jesus. Maybe they never recognized their sin. Maybe they never were sorrowful. Maybe they never repented, and they just simply added Jesus to their life. And you need to get very concerned about their salvation. Because can you imagine getting to heaven and find out your kids didn't make it? But they prayed the prayer. The prayer isn't the key. That's what Martin Luther, I paid the money to the Pope. I can do what I want to do. How many people are doing that today? This is a time for us to pray. In fact, would you stand to your feet? Lynette's going to come to the keyboard. And during this time, folks, it's a time of prayer. Here's why. Many of you have friends that are going to die, and they're going to be in that number of 1,000 as opposed to being the one. And you need to begin to pray, God, help me share with my friends this message I've heard today. Help me get this into my spirit. You may be here and say, I've got a family member. Maybe you're not saved. And it's going to be a time of you coming to the front and saying, this is a God time. Folks, the altar is a place where you meet God and your life is changed. I know this. You could say, would you want $1 billion or would you want to be saved? You've just asked me one dumb question. Folks, there's no issue. I will want to be saved over anything in this life. I don't care what price it takes. I want to be saved. If you've never been saved, this is a time for you to come. Say, I want to be saved. Maybe you want to pray for your family. I need to pray. Maybe you want to be healed or something. You want someone to pray with you. You can do that. This is the altar call time now. We're going to sing the song, I've Decided to Follow Jesus. If you have any doubts, deal with it. Come down, get it settled today. As we sing, you make the call to make God the Savior of your life. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Up here to pray with you. Feel free to come, and you want someone just to lay hands on you. They'll pray with you over here. They're waiting to pray with you for you to come to the altar right now. Pray for your family. Pray for this church that people would get saved. This is huge. Don't just look around. Begin to pray right now. Pray for those on your right, your left. Pray for them right now. Have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Sing it again. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turn. Moments. Folks, I just want you to begin to get a heart for what God has a heart for. And today the problem is that we have become Americanized. We no longer have the reality that people are going to hell because we have been insulated and isolated from this. This is your family, your friends, people you work with. And we need to have a heart. God, we want to be a soul-winning church. We want to help people get saved. Because in so many churches, they're going to do what the preacher said. They're going to pray the prayer. And yet they've never been saved. We must keep this message as the cutting edge. Okay? Just keep praying right now. Just keep praying. Father, we pray today that this message would get into the spiritual DNA of our church and of our lives. Father, we want to live fully saved. We don't want to live with a Sunday-only Jesus. We want to recognize our sin. We want to have remorse and be genuinely sorry for our sin. Father, we want to repent of our sin and then receive Christ as our Savior. Father, I pray that we would be so transformed that this place would become a house of salvation, that people would come here and go from here to heaven because of the encounter they've had with you. Father, I pray, build this into the heart of every praying person. Father, we pray for family members, for people we work with. Give us the same heart that you have. You made it so simple, and we in America have goofed it up by trying to shortcut it. Father, help us to come back to the full Bible message and preach the message of the cross that people might be saved today. Through the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, we're going to, those who want to stay, can help you and just keep praying if you want to. But, folks, we're done today. But let me just encourage this as you leave. Folks, if you have never received Christ, this is the most important message you can hear. If you have received Christ and you know this message, then you see people who need to hear it. You begin to share with them. We have a purpose. And folks, where we go to church is a big deal. The people in your life are a big deal. And you can make a difference for eternity. I'm going to make a judgment. And I'm just going to make a quick off-the-cuff call. I really doubt if Steve Jobs is in hell, if he's in heaven. There's no record. If I knew we were ever going to church, nothing was ever said. He was worth billions. If you could talk with Steve Jobs today, he would give it all for one more Sunday to receive Christ. He would give it all. If that's where he is. I'm not judging him. I'm just saying, if he is there, he would give every $1 billion he had. He'd give every dollar just for the chance to do what you're doing right now. So let's don't forget, we have received a great salvation. A great salvation. No matter what happens in life, it's all incidental compared to being saved. I was watching Becky, Georgia, the time she was up here, she was bouncing, she had some wiggle in her feet, kind of that you know, happy feet thing going on. And I said, Becky, I love her. I said, I'm encouraged that you have the happy feet thing going on. She said, I have so much joy inside of me. Folks, you can have victory no matter what you're going through when you belong to Christ. Now that we belong to Him, let's go live like it this week.
Thank you for joining us for the Lakeview Church Podcast. If this or any other message from Lakeview Church has affected your life, let us know. You can send us an email at mail@lakeviewonline.org.